Today is November the 22nd, Wednesday evening, on God's Salvation Through History. We're going to be looking at this evening some more cases that we can get through here. Between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, there's a distance of about 65 to 70 miles, and the Jordan River flows from between the Sea of the Galilee and the Dead Sea. And the start of the Jordan River is from another river up there just outside of the Sea of Galilee. And like I say, it's just 70 miles. The Jordan River is more than 60 feet wide in places, and it drops in altitude at a rate of 40 feet per mile. And by dropping that in distances where it's going 40 feet per mile, it makes the river current very quick, and it accelerates very rapidly, and it causes it to have a very swift current. And in that swift current, it collects things. It causes the mud to roil in it, and so it's a kind of a muddy river. You'll have a lot of silt along and mud along the banks of it. You'll have a lot of debris that there's a collection of it along its banks. And it's not a very clean river. And that probably is no wonder why in 2 Kings chapter 5 that Naaman was kind of dismayed at being told that he needed to go dip in the Jordan River. To dip in the Jordan River seven times. In chapter 5 and verse 12 he says, well, in Damascus, aren't the Avanah and the Pharpar River better than all the waters of Israel? And he was well familiar with the Jordan River, about how dirty it was and the collection of it. So you have that there where it's a wide river. It's fast moving. There's a lot of debris. And not only that, but in that it also overflowed its banks quite a bit. And so, you're familiar with the rivers around here, the Cumberland. Sometimes it's a small little river, but when it rains a lot, the thing really explodes. And you would be surprised at just a small little river, the width that it would obtain and the flooding that it causes. So, that's the case of the Jordan River. And what we're going to look at tonight is in Joshua, the third chapter, starting there, of where Israel is coming to the Jordan River. They've made their trek through the wilderness, and now under Joshua's command, they're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan over on the other side, and they're going to start the possession of it. And in Joshua, the third chapter, we'll go ahead, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, the Hivites, the Pezerites, and the Girshites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from above, shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it shall come to pass when the people remove from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarephath. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over the Jordan. In the fourth chapter, continuing on in verse 18, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And he said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Moses commanded, and took up 12 stones, and as Moses spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the Ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned into their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. When you look at verse 19, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Okay. When you look at chapter 5 and verse 1, it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. Verses 21 of chapter 4 on down through told of what they were to relate unto their children when the children would ask and say, you know, why are those stones there? That it was, you know, that Israel came out this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. In this, when you look at the timing, when you go back, first month of the 10th day, when they were in Egypt before the Exodus, that was when they had to take the Passover lamb and select it out. And almost to the same point, first month, 10th day, they're getting ready to cross over into the Promised Land, which is very interesting as far as timing for the Lord being close to the same day. So here they are before the Jordan. They're lodged at the Jordan River, and it's overflowing its banks. So it's going to be very, very wide. It's going to be very swift. And the people were instructed to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant by a space of about 2,000 cubits. So it was to be in the lead. Like we talked about before, there were certain things that the people could end up putting more emphasis in them than what they should, as far as Moses' rod, the Ark of the Covenant, which they did. We already looked at in prior classes that the Lord said later on down the road, you won't remember the Ark of the Covenant. Something else will be better for you to remember, and this will fade away. But they had placed a lot of emphasis upon the Ark. The people were instructed to sanctify themselves. Basically, they were to consecrate themselves because God was going to do wonders among them. When you look at Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 10 and 14, we find there when they were told before the mount that they were to consecrate themselves, to sanctify themselves. And it also involved the washing or cleansing of their clothes for the purity that they had to go through. So Joshua is telling them, God's going to do wonders for you. You need to sanctify yourselves. You need to set yourselves apart. And God told Joshua that through this incident, he would magnify Joshua in the sight of all Israel, just as he did Moses, so that all people would know that God was with him. So he was going to give not only encouragement to the people that God could deliver what he said he could do or what he would do, but also to build up Joshua in the sight of the people for the encouragement also and for the strength that they could get from Joshua. So God is seeing to all that, that the people would see this and know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. The priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were to go into the waters of the Jordan River, and as soon as the soles of their feet rested in the water, God caused the waters to stop flowing. Now, the waters that came down from the Sea of Galilee rose up upon a heap, or in a heap, it says, near the city Adam. And the city Adam was between the where they were at, a camped out there at, right before Gilgal and the Sea of Galilee. And it was probably about 8 to 10 miles from where they were crossing. So with the city of Adam being further up, the waters are stopped there. They're raised up in a heap at least 8 to 10 miles. And then the waters that are below where the Dead Sea is, they failed to come back. They weren't going to end up coming back to fill the void or nothing, because the Lord stopped that also. And so this was they were crossing. So it's almost similar to the crossing of the Red Sea as far as where the waters were parted. That was parted by a strong east wind, it says. This doesn't give an account of how the Lord parted them, but it's just that He did, that they stood up in a heap. And the priest stood on dry ground. Again, the significance of that. With the Jordan River flowing and the wetness underneath, you would expect mud and muck and everything else. But just as the Red Sea was dry ground, also the Jordan River was dry ground. So there is just, that's against all nature. So there you know that it's workings from the Lord and what He's doing. So on this dry ground, the priest stood there firmly. And what are they holding as they're standing there? They've got the Ark of the Covenant, which again is a representation, I guess, and I hate to use that word, but it's a representation of the Lord and His power and so forth. And you know, like we talked about before, you can end up then placing more emphasis in the Ark of the Covenant than you can in the emphasis being in God, you know, as far as His workings. But The ark is there. People are passing by. The people are 12 of the people are supposed to take 12 stones out of the midst of there and carry them over to the other side where they're going to camp at and set the 12 stones up as a memorial. And then Joshua also has 12 stones placed where the priests are. Now, of course, where the priests are, what's going to happen to the 12 stones that are there? When the water comes back, they're going to be covered up. But they're still going to be there. So it's just something that he did that had to be done. So they're holding the ark while all this is going on. We're told on the account there's at least 40,000 people of the soldiers of the other, of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh and them that went over. So there was more than that based upon all the people that would have went over with the children of Israel. As soon as the souls of the priests, after everybody went through, the souls of the priests, when they're moving out of the Jordan River, and as soon as they touch the other side of the dry ground and get up on the dry ground, then the waters are released, and they go back. And they return to their place, and again, the current's flowing again to the point that it's flooding out of its banks again, just like it was before. How long they stood there, I don't know. Record doesn't say. It's just time that it stood there for them to be able to cross over. So it's not a natural phenomenon that you could say happened. It's evident that the Lord did it, and it's through His power that this happened. And through this incident, with Joshua telling them and so forth, through this incident, God magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And the result of it was that they feared him or revered him as they did Moses, because of what took place. And the result, we also read, was that nothing was kept hid from anybody else. We'll find that. News traveled quick. Then in chapter 5, verse 1 that we read, again the result is that the other nations heard. So evidently this got noised abroad. Now, it had to be by others also than the children of Israel, because if you think about it, if the children of Israel were telling this story that, you know, this happened, other nations would say, okay, yeah, right. Okay. Look who's telling it this name. But there had to have been others that heard about it, that saw it. When you're looking 8 to 10 miles that the river is stopped and backed up, and you're back toward the city of Adam, and you see this great heap of water, and it's dry after that, that's going to get around. And the result is that the other nations heard, they were afraid of Israel, and it's attributed to what God had done. And so God had already said that He was going to go before the children of Israel. The fear of them He was going to put out there to the other nations before them. And so He's going through this process. And we'll see when we look at the next case that report was out there too, because it had been heard by other inhabitants on the west side of Jordan, that as far as what God has done so far with Israel and all His workings with them. So there you have that the fear of them is going about as far as what God's doing. It's miraculous from the standpoint that it happened and they were able to cross over. He delivered them regardless of how insurmountable the odds may have seemed to them as far as getting across this swift current. It has been mentioned in some of the historical facts concerning the Jordan River that those that wanted to be baptized in the Jordan River went in there and got baptized, and they were finally caught 2 miles downstream from the current, where the current takes them down. It's that quick when you're dropping that much altitude. So to see that river flowing out of its banks, all the other brush, trees, everything else going down through it at a fast speed, you'd wonder, well, you know, Joshua, how are we going to get across that? So, but God provided a way. The application of what we can learn from this is that some of the things that I came up with is, number one, that no obstacles are too big or insurmountable in our lives that God can't take care of. Nothing that He can't take care of. To keep in our memory the workings of God in our lives, so to strengthen our faith. The stones were put there for memorial for the kids to ask. They were to be able to tell them what it was and what it meant, to pass that along to the children, that this is what God did. And they were actual witnesses of it, and that added emphasis to the kids that when they asked, well, this is what's happened. And this is not the first time that has happened with the memorial. There was other instances where memorials were set up that when the children asked, you can tell them, this is why, or this is what he did. Okay? The third thing is to let God be the one to give honor to us and to elevate us and not ourselves. Joshua could have took the lead and he could have said, well, you know, this, I'm doing this, blah, 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 but he didn't. God is the one that said, I'm going to magnify you in the presence of all Israel, just the way I did Moses, and the people will revere you the same as they did Moses, so that the people would follow Joshua and do what he had wished. Right now, you know that with Moses, it had been a rocky road that Moses went through, and the people still didn't truly believe him. They hadn't really faced a whole lot of warfare yet. Now you have the same situation with Joshua, but yet they're going to be facing warfare. So God has went more than out of his way to show them that he's fighting for them, that he's going to be the one that's going to be doing it. And they needed to place their confidence in it. And he showed them ahead of time in everything that he did that there shouldn't have been any reason for them to doubt what God was going to do or what he was going to accomplish. He keeps telling them, I'm going to give you this land of all these people, of these seven nations. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you. And he tells them ahead of time, when we see in some of these battles, it's going to be yours. I'm giving you this city. I'm giving you that city before they even took it. So it's an encouragement. It should have been to them. But also, not only that, but it should have been a great encouragement to Joshua, for Joshua to continue on with the strength and the faith that he needed in order to lead the people. So there's one instance again of the salvation that God had delivered them instead of just them being stuck there on the side of the Jordan and having to figure it out. God delivered them, brought them over into the promised land through the crossing of it in a miraculous way on that. Any thought or comment on that? They're on the other side now. They get across. We find that, according to chapter 4 and verse 13, that Joshua had about 40,000 men prepared for battle that went to the plains of Jericho. Now, Jericho is a small city of between 6 to 10 acres, and it's been defended with walls. We know that when you look at the second chapter in verse 15 of Joshua. When the spies went to spy out the city that they met Rahab, and she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelled upon the wall. Defense is given to the cities that they would build these tall walls, and within that they would have gates that would be open and closed. They'd be open during the day, closed at night, or they could be closed if an enemy came and kept closed. And modern warfare back then was far different than what we have, is once they shut those gates up and had the walls built, you're stuck there. They're stuck inside, you're stuck outside, and most generally they had to sit there and just kind of besiege it and wait it out. When you look at Jerusalem and how it was besieged, that it was to the point that it was a lot of days that they ran out of food, and that when they ran out of food, they started eating their own children just to try to survive. So a siege could take many months to wait them out if they didn't have all the substance there. Before they go into Jericho and do the battle with Jericho, Joshua is given encouragement. And it's just a short little passage in chapter 5 and in it, in verse 13, doesn't say a whole lot. Doesn't say what the person's actual activity was. But if you remember in the very beginning, when they were setting out, God said that He would send His angel who would go before and fight for the children of Israel. And here you have in verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, What saith my Lord unto this servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Kind of reminiscent of another incident that had took place. Remember what that was?
Moses.
To take off his feet of the holy ground. On that, Joshua reinstituted a lot of things that they went through. He reinstituted back the circumcision and some of the practices and so forth that they had got away from. And so God put this in here. I guess I looked at it as far as encouragement to Joshua, that as they're getting ready to start into their battles, that God's presence is there and he's going to be fighting for them. The guy didn't say who he was. He just said neither one. When the question was asked, are you here, you know, are you here for us? Are you for us or for our adversaries? And he says, I'm here as captain of the host of the Lord. Am I come now? So it was up to God. He worked for God. He was under God's direction. So I thought that was interesting. Because of Israel, because of the children of Israel, the town is securely shut in with nobody going out or nobody going in. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when ye make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark of the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. He rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets, the ram's horns before the ark, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. Second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, and when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, as shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox, sheep, donkeys, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman, and all she hath, as she sware unto her. The young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brethren, and all she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and of iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, her father's household, and all she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates thereof. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. You can run your reference on verse 26, and it was so, that when they tried to rebuild the city and so forth, it came about as Joshua said that it would happen, as far as with the youngest, firstborn, and youngest on that. So, the town is shut in. The town of Jericho is already afraid of the Israelites because of what has God done. You can look at Joshua, the second chapter, when Rahab talked to the spies. She told them, the second chapter, verses 9 through 11, she said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So we'll stop there this evening, and we'll pick up from there next week then. Thank you.